Good morning, Genemasi. A special welcome to our 1:30 service. We asked them to join us early this so they could participate in breakfast. It's a good Canadian thing to do, to introduce sausages and pancakes to friends from another land. Just to echo what Ryan said, if you're new, this is one of your first Sundays. We're so glad that you're with us. I wish I could have had, I don't know, take pictures and add names, because there was lots and lots of people that I served sausages to that I didn't know, but we're so looking forward to getting to meet you and have you part of our family this year. So this is our kickoff Sunday, and you sort of know what that means. Things move into a little different gear over the summer, but in September, you come back, and we are ready to launch our suite of programs and services, and the purpose of this Sunday is to start that process. And so what we have is we have all the things we've been working on, all these programs and ideas and things, and then we have you. And what we want is we want to bring those together. We want to tell you about them, and we want to encourage you to support them, to come to them, to pay for them, to volunteer in them, all those things. That's part of what we're trying to do. The problem with that is that it starts to feel like a sales pitch. And I'm not a good salesman. I was a hot tub salesman briefly. And it wasn't fun. Because essentially, there was two jobs as a salesman. One is I was supposed to tell you how wonderful the product was. And we had a good product. And so I could do that. I could tell you why this hot tub was better and why Ryan likes to sit in his, and all those things. And I could play little tricks and show you why it was good and do all those kinds of things. So that's telling you about the wonderful things we have. But the other side of the process was less fun. Because essentially, as the person who trained me kept saying, you have to ask for the money. At some point, doesn't matter how much you talk about the hot tub, at some point you have to get the guy to reach into his back pocket and give you his Visa card. You've got to ask for the money. And that's not fun, because there's all kinds of reasons why you wouldn't want to pull out your Visa card. Can I afford it? Will we really use it? There's right away, we go into that defensive kind of posture. And so that's dangerous here. Because, number one, we don't like the idea of you being consumers and we somehow are offering things that you like or maybe don't like. That's not really a biblical model. But it also puts us in this really funny stance. If you start to think, I'm out here to sell you something, then immediately in your heart is saying, well, whoa, let's slow down. I don't know that I can afford it. Do I actually have more time in my schedule? I don't know that I have more money. How am I going to fit that in with what all the kids are doing? And those kinds of things. Right away, your brakes are on. And so that's not a helpful way to start the year. Because it puts us immediately in a framework of lack, in a sense of poverty, and that somehow your job is to manage your resources and be careful how you dole things out. And let's not just get all excited because Lawrence thought helping at junior youth was fun. Let's just take our time. Slow down. I don't know that we can afford that. So if we don't want a consumer relationship, what do we do with the fact that this is what we want to do? That we're doing some things here at River of Life, and we want you to commit to those things. We want you to reach into your wallet and commit to them, so to speak. How would we think about that? And why would you enter into things here in a new way this fall, in a way that you haven't in the past? Turn with me to John chapter 15. Prakash, why don't you come up? I need that mic, Ryan. Oh. We're just going to read. I'll just turn it off. It's okay. I got it. It wasn't working. So we just want to read the first five verses of John 15, and then Prakash is going to read it in Nepali just for the help of our folks from the 1:30 service. Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
दागको बोट र हाँगाहरु साँचो दागको बोट म हुँ र मेरो पिता किसान हुनुहुन्छ ममा हुने प्रत्येक हाँगा जसले फल फलाउँदैन उहाँले त्यसलाई छाट्नुहुन्छ र फल फलाउने हरेक हाँगालाई झन बढी फल फलोस् भनी उहाँले छिवल्नुहुन्छ मैले तिमीहरूलाई भनेको वचनले तिमीहरू अघि नै शुद्ध भइसकेका छौ ममा रहो र म तिमीहरूमा रहन्छु जसरी हाँगा दागको बोटमा रहेन भने त्यसले फल फलाउन सक्दैन त्यसरी तिमीहरू पनि ममा रहेन भने तिमीहरूले पनि सक्दैनौ दागको बोट म हुँ तिमीहरू चाहिँ हाँगाहरू हौ यदि कोही ममा रह्यो भने म त्यसमा रह्यो भने त्यस्तै धेरै फल फलाउँछ किनकि मबाट अलग रहेर तिमीहरू केही गर्न सक्दैनौ
So this is a very simple picture, but I think it gives us a new way to think about what we're trying to do here this morning. It's a picture of God the Father as the person who owns a vineyard, that he puts it into production, and that Jesus is the vine. So he's the trunk and the stalk of the main part of the vine with the roots, and we are the branches, and there's an expectation by the owner of the vineyard, God the Father, that there's going to be fruit. And so we understand that picture. God the Father expects that he will get a return on his investment. That he's a businessman and he's put together a vineyard with Jesus as the vine and us as the branches and he expects to have a harvest, a return on his investment. And so I just want to draw out three really simple things from that picture. First of all, God the Father has designed you to bear fruit. That's how he set this up deliberately that you would bear fruit. He is not skeptical that there will be fruit. He has set it up in a very purposeful way that there will be fruit in your life. He doesn't see it as high risk. He doesn't think we have to wait for 30 years to be mature and ready to do that. He thinks there can be fruit in your life this year. He doesn't say there should only be fruit after you're a certain age or after you've prayed through all of your stuff or when you have extra time or when you have extra money. He believes he set up a system in which you could bear fruit this year. He expects it and he's anticipating he's ready to see a harvest here at River of Life in your life and in our life together as a church this year. And the Father's confidence rests in Jesus. He's confident that there will be a harvest because the vine is good. The vine is Jesus. And when the vine is good, when the main trunk of that grape is healthy and strong and good, we can expect that the branches will produce likewise. A good tree bears good fruit. And so there's no way when we are attached to a good vine that we can bear bad fruit. It's the source of our fruitfulness is Jesus. There's no way around that. Jesus has already proved his fruitfulness. That's what he did here on earth. And so we can expect to do similar things to what he has done because he's good and he's the vine. But the real question is, how do we think about that relationship? So what's our part? Well, Jesus uses the word abide or dwell. And so that sort of sounds like, well, I guess we sit around. Because branches don't do anything. They just hang out there. And it happens sort of automatically. But for me, that's not helpful. To say, so just abide. It'll be good. Jesus talks about it this way. He says, unless I abide in you and you in me. So there's this thing that's going back and forth. That the Father has given us Jesus and Jesus has invested in us. And likewise, we would invest in Jesus. That there would be a mutual kind of thing happening. And that as Jesus invests in us and we invest in Jesus, that we should expect to see in our lives evidence that Jesus is there. That's what fruit would be. It would be evidence of the work of Jesus. And so that we could expect in our lives the things that mark Jesus' life. So in our church, those are the five passions. We said we want in our church that the things that are important to us would be the things that were important to Jesus. So Jesus valued God's presence, and he valued discipleship and teaching and calling and mission. And so if God, Jesus is investing in us and we bear fruit, we should see those things coming out in our lives. In your bulletin is a half sheet insert. Because I want to talk a little bit about investing. So if changes my stance, if we shift things from will you buy something from me today to will you invest in something with me this morning, changes my stance. Because in investing, the focus is on the return. It's not about what it will cost me now. The decision about an investment is about what's the return. What can I expect in return for this investment? And how might we go about that here this year? So there are lots of ways. We put a little, if you're new, out there on the tables was a little pamphlet that talked about our menu. There's lots going on here, and if you're here in the first couple of Sundays, you might not know how to navigate that. And so we try to get you some information about that. That's why we have the backside around. When do things start, and who do you talk to? But there's just a few things that I think will be central to your process of investing this year that will bear significant fruit for us as a body this year. First of all, would you invest in God's presence? Now, this morning's been wildly fun. And we're just going to keep going in that direction of investing in God's presence Sunday mornings. But I want to highlight for you prayer vigils that run a couple of times a month, a different context and a different way to invest in God's presence. A way that is bringing us remarkable returns. Individually, it's teaching us to pray, to hear God, and to enter into things that for many of us are really, really new. It's a way to do things together but apart in a strange way, because we come here to the sanctuary and for the most part we're separate. There isn't an agenda. Nobody's talking. We're investing in God's presence individually. But then someone will come by and pray with me or I'll be feel led to go pray with someone else. And so we do something together. And somehow the idea of spending more than 5 or 6 minutes in prayer, because somehow by doing it together here in the sanctuary, suddenly I can look at my watch and think, oh, it's 11 o'clock already. How did that happen? Because we're doing something together. And it's that investment is bringing such beautiful returns. Beautiful growth in our individual prayer lives, a significant change in what happens the Sunday following as we together corporately seek God. And so I just lay that out for you as a wonderful opportunity for you to enter into this year. Secondly, we want to invite you to invest in your discipleship. And so if you've been here over the summer, you know we've kept talking about Corpus, which is our discipleship school. And it is bearing great fruit. People are seeing a great return on their investment as they attend Corpus. And so the year two started this morning at 9 o'clock. First phase starts this afternoon at 1:30, and we want to invite you to attend. Even if this is the first time you've heard about this, we want to invite you to come out for the first couple of classes and be part of our, invest in your own discipleship this year. And so here's some of the fruit that people from last year saw in their own lives. Just watch the video.
Before Corpus, my husband had just left me. I was feeling unwanted, rejected, unloved. 2 years ago, I couldn't have shared this.
For much of my life, I felt I was failing as a father in passing on my faith to my children.
I was suspicious of God, and I felt that I never measured up.
Before Corpus Christi, I was drowning in a false identity, my marriage was disjointed, and my faith was nothing but a struggle.
I was tired and weary, and I was a control fanatic.
I viewed myself as a failure.
I had to prove my worth by being better at everything.
I was so broken, I had no idea who I was.
Before Corpus, God was to me just sitting up on his throne waiting for me to fail. He was distant, unknown.
God had good plans for everybody, but me.
I was afraid he would leave me.
I believe God had a role in my business, but it was mostly theory, head knowledge.
I knew it in my head, but not in my heart.
I wouldn't have said this out loud, but I probably perceived him as being judgmental, stern, and not very personable.
Holy, perfect, loving, but somehow untouchable.
Corpus is a place where I've been able to take the things from my head about Christ and have been able to place them deeper into my heart and to move them into practical application.
People around me have noticed that I am more peaceful, more content, happier than I was 2 years ago. I am free.
What is true of Christ is true of me.
This year, I've learned that I matter.
I'm learning to rest in Christ's righteousness.
I just get to receive and rest as a son.
I am the fullness of Christ in me.
I, Sophie, am his beloved daughter.
He is my comforter, provider, protector, security, my father.
I received a true revelation of Jesus.
God is the same, but my heart and understanding of him are changing.
God has changed me.
He has a plan for me.
God isn't just interested in my gifts. He's my father, and I matter to him.
Jesus is my everything.
He loved me first. I am welcomed into his presence.
Jesus fights my battles, and victory is mine.
So that's some good fruit. That's a worthwhile return on your investment. So Corpus is led by Ryan, who's just right here in the front, and Rachel. I don't know where Rachel is. I don't, back there, maybe, somewhere. Can I just have all the people who are in Corpus stand up for just 1 second? Whether you're phase two, phase one, you graduated, just look around. There's a Corpus student near you right now. Thank you. You can be seated. So, yeah, absolutely. So if you're interested in even the slightest way, we've designed this deliberately to work with full-time studies, full-time work, whatever else is going on in your life. Sunday afternoons, Thursday evenings is how it works. Come, stay for lunch upside in the fireside room. Take the next two Sundays for free and decide if you'd like to be a part of that, if that'll be part of your investment in River of Life this year. There's lots of other things we're doing, seminars, conferences. That information is on the sheet in front of you. Thirdly, I'd like to invite you to invest in each other. You get a sense when we pull 300 or 400 people together for a pancake breakfast, even if you're new, that there are really strong relationships between people here. That doesn't happen Sunday mornings. That happens because we spend time with each other in smaller settings, investing in each other. That's the only way this works, is that we need each other. You never see a vine growing by itself. It needs other. If we're going to have a return, we have to do this together. And so Alan Fulton is the person, together with Ryan, who's giving a lot of leadership to our community groups this year. But they are a central foundational piece about how we care and invest in each other. And so I'd like to ask all our community group leaders, if you're leading a group, if you could just stand. If you're an apprentice leader in a group, just stand up for a second so people can get a sense who you are. So once again, there's a community group leader close to you. So grab one of them after the service if you're not in a group. And there's groups all over. You can be seated all over the city, in Coaldale, all variety of kinds of things. Talk to one of those leaders. Stop at the info desk. We'd love to make a connection for you with a group that suits you this year. And then finally, I want to ask you to invest a bit of yourself. That if we're going to see the fruit that the Father has for this, for us this year. It will take each of us investing together and probably taking our investment up a notch. This is a remarkable body. I was in the hospital Friday night for a while with somebody from our congregation, and she had a problem at work, and so from work the ambulance brought her to the hospital, and one of her colleagues came along, somebody from another church. And so we were there, and people were texting, and she said, "I've never seen a church like this. You do a wonderful job of investing. But it takes all of us. And whatever level of investment you're at now, what's the next piece? What would you like to see? What kind of fruit would you like to see? In what areas? And what would it take for you to get that result? What would it look like for you to step into something in a new way by attending something you haven't attended before? By increasing your involvement in an area? By praying for an area? Whatever it might look like, what's the next step for your investment here at River of Life? But I want to talk to you particularly about children's ministry. Lots of our kids are in the service with us today, and personally, for me, the summer is a highlight because the kids are here and we always learn from the kids because we're not caring for them over there while we do church. There, God is advancing stuff there, and often he's leading us through the children. But our children's area is so key, and I can't imagine an area that would give you a higher return on your investment. That right here on every week, there are hundreds of kids coming who just need someone to love them, to care for them, to help them cut out things, to play a game with them, to learn their name, whatever it is. Our kids' areas need a higher level of investment. Right now, in this service, our kids' areas are full to the max. And Jep and parents and our interns spent 2 weeks adding a second level into the preschool area to try to double our floor space. Not quite double, but we just literally needed more space for kids. There's so many kids. Friday nights, junior youth, 30 to 40 young, mostly Nepali young people here. You say you're called to mission. Here's mission right on our doorstep. Come here Friday night and care, learn some names, play with some people, and learn a new culture in the process. Mission right on our doorstep. Jep is in our team. He's the guy who takes care of all of those areas, senior youth and down. And Jep is hands down, you won't have any argument from any of us on this, he is the best teacher and team builder on our team. He knows how to do this in marvelous ways. And so this is his work. There is literally 40 different ways you can be involved in what we're doing with our children. Everything from whatever you're comfortable with, preparing materials, working with children, driving bus, sitting on the bus, phoning people. There's innumerable different options, and our kids need you. If you want to see an investment, you want to see a return on your investment this year, why not put it into our kids? What's a better place? Parents, our request of you is that you would give us one Sunday a month. But it's not just parents. University, college students, grandparents, could you give us one Sunday a month to just love children, just care for them, just be a blessing to them? And I want to talk a little bit for just a second about some of you who are saying, but that's not my calling. Now, we're committed to calling. And I'm here because this church is committed to my calling. I would have still be in the pew if the church wasn't committed to my calling. So we're on with your calling. But we want to make a distinction. It seems to us that sometimes some of us are saying, well, I can't serve wherever because that's not my calling. And I want to suggest to you that every calling, no matter what your calling is, it's going to involve relationships, it's going to involve loving people, it's going to be involved working in a team, all of those things. Those are the things you're going to learn in kids ministry. And we just need some extra help. So, take that. Jep wanted to stop you at the door and collect them from you, give you pens. This just is such a good way for you to invest here at ROL. Lots of different ways to do that. So could I have all the people, so parents, whether you're in there once a month, our teachers, maybe just before you stand up, though, I want to highlight a couple of people. It's Sherry Atkinson. She's probably with the kids back there. Deanna's right here at the front. Just stand up, Deanna. She takes care of our grade school program, so you won't see her the rest of the year because she's going to be back there blessing the kids like she blessed us this morning. Where's James? Up here with the band somewhere. Over here. Junior youth. He just needs some bodies. Crowd control. So if you have a body, James needs you. Talk to him after. We're still working on our senior youth program, but we'd love to have you involved in those kinds of ways. So could I have all those people? And if you're involved in any one of those, you're involved with kids under 18. Just stand up. Doesn't matter where you are. Let's just give, these people are some of the people you could talk to about how they're involved. Let's just give them a round of applause. And so I want to leave you with this question. Of what kind of return have you been looking for? And you've been saying, well, I'll come to this church, it sounds interesting, but what I'd really like to see is this, growth in this area. I'd like to see God teach me about this or that. It's going to take some investment from you. You cannot have a return without an investment. So what does that look like? What's God calling you to? What could you step into? We are committed to trying to see, and we're going to talk more about this in the year. We've designated a significant portion of Amos's time to helping people connect with their place of service, either here or in our community. And so, outreach, pop-in, bus ministry, there is just so many great things going on. Jail ministry, divorce care. I mean, I could talk forever, but there is opportunity in so many different places. So I'm going to ask Ryan, he's going to come up and we're going to just pray a prayer of blessing over this year and over all of you who make this happen. Just to bless your investment and to ask God's blessing on the fruit that he wants to produce here at River of Life this year.
So why don't we stand together? That this is a act of the whole body. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to invite Jesus and his blessing and his grace. And we're going to make a commitment in prayer that as he connects to us, as he invests in us, we will invest in him. So Jesus, we begin by thanking you for all of your good gifts. That how you invested in us was of yourself. You came and you got low. You left your comfort zone. You left riches. And you became one of us. And you gave of yourself, even unto death. That you spent of yourself until there was nothing left to spend for us. That we would be blessed. That we would be saved and cleansed and forgiven and restored and recreated. That you spent all of yourself. That in your resurrection, you welcome us into a new existence. That you have invested eternity future in us. And that when you ascended, you said you are going to prepare a place for us. You are still investing of yourself. And that you invested your spirit within us. That you dwelt within us. And so, Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for all of your goodness. You are so enjoyable. And so, Lord, now each heart in our own way, we commit to invest in you. To take our time, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, all of the elements of life, and to invest them into you as you have done in us. So just take a moment in your own heart. What has the Lord stirred in you? What has He highlighted and said, invest here, invest this part of you? I want you just quietly in your heart to say, Jesus, I commit this to you this year. I commit these parts of me to invest in you this year. So Lord, on behalf of the leadership of this church, I thank you for the investment of each one. That I lift it up to you and say, oh, what a great gift. What a great gift. And so Jesus, we ask that you would bless these commitments. That your favor and your goodness and your provision would be upon them. That this year would be a year of fruitfulness. In each heart, in each life, and in this church. For your glory. That it would be evidence of your great work in our lives. Would it bring you glory and praise? So we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, and everyone said, amen. So we're just going to close with one final song. Let's lift our praise to Him. And we'll go in grace.